Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Welcome to another edition of our show, and this week I want you to know we've got a lady, and every time I try to say this in a polite way, especially with the lady friend, they always think I'm saying they're old, and so I'm not saying she's old, I'm just saying that we're going to go down some historical roads today and talk about some great sounds in gospel music, and even continuing today, and you see her bold smile, and you hear her bold voice, and her name is Ann Downing, and I'm glad to have her on my guest line. Hi, Ann.
Well, I'm still waiting to hear about the lady. you just never did finish what you were going to say.
Oh, well, listen, I was going to say, you know, I always tried to, you know, I want to honor you by saying you have served well in the gospel music field, but at the same time, I don't want to say you're old or anything.
Oh, well, no, I didn't hear that at all. I'm okay. Just glad I'm still, I'm glad I'm still here, and I'm glad I've been able to do this all these years. I really am.
But to be fair, I always have to go back. I like to go back to the beginning, even before there was music that was in your life. Tell me where you were born, and let's get started there.
Well, that's good. I thought there for a minute you were going to say, I'd like to go back before there was music in the world. What was it
right.
like back then, man?
Yeah, that's right. No.
Well, I grew up on a cotton farm, and I can't remember when there wasn't music. So, Really, I've always... That was just what we did. I mean, you know, when you're in rural Mississippi on a cotton farm, there's not much to do but pick cotton and sing, if you can sing. So we sang, and that was my social life. It was, I guess, my spiritual life, and it was just what I loved.
Well, people listening who may be listening in Canada or in a part of the country that's not classified as the South, and they like this music, but they say, well, it is definitely Southern. Well, listen, you can't get any more Southern than cotton fields.
Well, Southern. I don't know exactly what Southern. It was funny. It wasn't Southern gospel until just a few years ago, and all of a sudden it was Southern gospel, and I'm going, oh, well, I had not heard that term until recently in the last few years. It was just gospel music.
Sure.
And we never did work. I mean, honestly, when I was with the Spears, we didn't work down south that much, no more than we worked other places, you know. So I guess if you're going to say it, if a lot of people think you hear Southern gospel music now, that term is used a lot now, Southern gospel. Mm-hmm. I guess it does sound like it is from the south and probably got its roots here.
Sure.
And thank God for that because it got me started.
Yeah. So your family had the farm? I mean, tell me about tell me how the music was an influence in your childhood.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I said a while ago, it was that what we did for entertainment. It was social life, and honestly, that's where I probably, you know, of course I accepted the Lord when I was 9 years old at my home church, but I'll have to say that probably a lot of my nourishment and maturing in the Lord came from the music in my life. I was a big part of my world was Stamps Baxter, Vaughn Music Company, what we call convention type singing. We had all day singings, and we had Saturday night, Friday night, Sunday afternoons. They would bring those Stamps Baxter books in, and we would sing, and that's where I learned to and went to singing schools in the summer. Taught by some of those people and learned to read shape notes. That's when I learned to read music and grew up that kind of music, which is still I just love it. And I just learned, I just love the tune. I love the melodies. I love and of course, you know, when you're a young kid, you probably don't get into the lyrics as much as you do later on, but I know that's where I really developed a real tenderness for Jesus because all those songs were just chock full of, you know, they were about Jesus.
Exactly.
And probably that was more of a part of my life than my local church, to be honest with you. And so I'm thankful that music has always been there in my life.
Now, and I'm glad you said that because I was thinking the same thing. I think my life, I think as a kid, you probably start hearing those sounds and you really like them. And what you're saying is true. You know, you like the sound of the music.
Yeah.
At what point did it sort of click that not only do I like this, but I can maybe take it a step further and actually sing it?
And let's actually sing it.
Yes, sing it, and then maybe even make a ministry or a career out of it.
Or yeah. Well, I don't. I would dream that I could travel, you know, and sing. Back when I was a kid, after maybe like junior high and going into high school, the only groups that I knew of that were what we call full-time professional groups who had a girl singer were, other than a family member, were actually the Spear family. That was kind of it. And I listened to their music, and that was what I would dream that I could do, is to travel with the Spear family. I don't know if I really believed I could or not. I just wanted to.
Yeah.
So I just kept believing it, and I would say that's what I want to do. And I guess people probably thought, well, bless her heart. I hope she doesn't take the disappointment too much when she didn't get off the cotton farm.
Sure.
But I kept, my mom and daddy did everything they could do to put me, and my sister, everything they could do to put me in the position of learning and being out there and going to those practices and rehearsals with a little local group that I sang with. And then the Spears heard me, and actually one of the members of the Elkridge Boys heard me first and recommended that I contact the Spears. And in fact, he introduced me to the Brock Spear. And so right out of high school, I joined them. And I don't know when I decided that it was going to be more than just a career. I guess probably not until after I married Paul and we formed the Downings. I think that's when it came real to me, is this is my life's work.
When I hear a baby cry, when I see the blue sky, I feel a love so warm, a friend so kind. He watches over me, and I know he cares for me. I talk to him each day when I
'71 music from the Downings. That's from the project This Is How It Is Live. And my guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends is Ann Downing. And we're talking about her beginnings, her early start in gospel music just out of high school. And our conversation picks up right here.
So when you joined the Spears, so you're telling me right out of high school, you jumped right into the Spears, right into your dream job.
I was in business college. I just graduated from high school. I was in business college for a couple of months, and I had auditioned with them back several months earlier, but they were in transition time. Dad Spear had just had a heart attack and was not on the road, and Mom Spear was staying home with him, so Faye had joined the group to sing, and then they'd had to get another tenor, baritone singer, tenor, baritone, whatever, take Dad Spear's place at the time, and they didn't know how long Faye could travel because they had small children at the time, and it was just a real kind of iffy time for them. They didn't even know if they would stay a mixed group or not. They thought they might go to a male group, but they told me they still auditioned, because I had auditioned before Dad Spear got sick, so I had already kind of gotten my name in the pot, I guess, and so when they decided to make the change, it was after his heart attack, and the girl who was with them, Ginger, was leaving. Well, then I'd kind of stayed in touch. I would go to see them when they were around close, and then I was in business school, and that's when they called me and said, "We feel like you might be the one. Come and make this last trip that Ginger's going to take. Come and make that trip with us, and we'll see." And I never did go back to Mississippi. That was it.
And so you traveled.
I must have done good.
You did. Well, absolutely. And at the time, you were Ann Sanders with the Spear family, right?
Uh-huh. And green as a gourd.
And how many years you spent with them again?
I sang with the Spears 5 years, almost exactly five. Almost, right. It lacked a month being 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I'd met Paul a year before, and we'd started dating, and I don't want to get ahead of you. You know what you're wanting to ask, so I'm getting ahead of you.
No, that's fine. Well, it was in Americus, Georgia, at a little diner, right? That's where the meeting happened?
Yeah. Well, it was a little cafe, one of those hometown cafes next door to the motel.
Yeah.
Actually, I had met Paul before then, but even before I joined the Spears, I had met Paul.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't see him again all those years. He was not singing when I met him. He was forming a group and was there at the concert, at a Spear concert, and the Oak Ridge Boys. And Noel Fox, who was singing bass for the Oak Ridge Boys at the time, I had gone backstage to talk to the Spears. They had asked to see me, and I went back to talk to them, and they said, "We feel like you're the one, but we don't know when it's going to be." So I was excited, though. So I went back out, and as I was walking out from backstage, I saw two men talking. One was Noel and this other guy, and I just hugged Noel's neck, and I said, "I think I got the job." And he said, "Oh, that's great." And then, of course, I didn't know who this other person was. And he said, "Here, I'd like for you to meet someone. This is Paul Downing." And the first thing Paul said was, "Where's my hug?" And I said, "Well, I don't know you well enough." And so I think he thought then, well, she's gone. But I didn't. I didn't see him again for about 4 years. And then he was singing with the Dixie Echoes by then.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what was happening when I saw him in Americus, Georgia. I walked in. He sang, "There She Is, Miss America," to me.
Oh.
So I guess that kind of won me over.
Yeah, well, and from what I understand, it may have taken a little bit of practicing on his part to really get the proposal down right for you to say yes.
Well, you've been doing research, haven't you?
Well, I've heard stories.
Have you been to AnnDowning.com?
Yes, you can find that. There's a lot of wealth of information there, I want you to know, too, at AnnDowning.com. Make sure you go there.
Yes.
And you could become a fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a cool play on words.
I saw your name on the fan forum message board the other day. That he asked me to marry him fairly quickly. It was a little quick for me.
Yeah.
So I just kind of hesitated, and he later said, "I thought you were going to say no." And of course, you know, you guys don't like rejection. Well, nobody likes rejection.
Well, but sure.
You back away from that real quick.
Yeah.
And so he hesitated, and then he asked, and he said, "We just think about it, and we'll talk about it sometime."
Yeah.
And so about 6 months later, he asked me, and I said yes.
Of course, all of you here know this is supposed to be my better half. There's some doubt about that in some places, but I'll go ahead and claim her. You know, put the Downings on the road, and I told her one time I needed her to travel with us. And she said, I couldn't really come to work for you. Said, "You're a single man, I'm a single woman." And said, "We'd get on that bus traveling around together, people start talking about us." And I said, "Yeah, that's right." And so I started to leave, and she grabbed me by the arm and says, wait a minute. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, "Well, if you were to marry me, Paul, I could travel with you." See? So I thought it over for 3 or 4 months, and I called her up one day, and I told her, I said, "Okay, I'm going to take you up on your offer. We're going to go ahead and get married, and since then we did, we changed her name from Ann Sanders to Ann Sanders Downing. That makes up all the Downings, so you can welcome again here to Muncie if you'd like to.
Now, I'm finding this to be interesting. I didn't realize, and correct me or give me the timeline here, once, let me back up. I always get ahead of myself. Once you and Paul started dating and then you decided to get married, at what point did the Downings really become a group, a singing group?
Okay, we got married, after we married, because Paul told them, you know, one of his little things after we started singing was, Ann and I were dating, and I told her, well, we ought to start a singing group. And Ann said, well, Paul, we can't sing together. You're a single man. I'm a single woman. We can't travel around the country. And he said, no, we can't, Ann. And then he says that I said, but if you'll marry me, then it'll be okay. That wasn't the way it was. We got married, and he was traveling in business then all over the United States, and I was just off the road. I'd come off the road. Mm. I didn't want to travel anymore because, actually, I was gone when he was here, and he was gone when I was here, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
So I stayed home, and he was gone from Monday through Friday. And one weekend, he said, you know, I think you need to be singing. You miss it, don't you? I said, no, I'm fine. You know, I wasn't going to complain. I hadn't been married long. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, let's think about forming a group. And so that was the beginning. Within about, we married in August, and so we started the Downings. We started auditioning in, I guess, the 1st of December. And then officially the group was put together in L.A., in California. Paul was in business out there, and I was with him, and we were out there for a month, and we flew Greg Gordon and Sue Chenault, mm-hmm. who's Sue Dodge now, flew them to California, and in the month of February, we were put the Downings together rehearsing while Paul was working.
Wow.
We would rehearse, and we started the Downings. Our first date was around the 1st of March.
Wow.
So that was, 4 or 5 months after we married?
Yeah. And in the mention of Sue Chenault, that's what surprised me. I didn't realize she was part of the Downings. And was this before or after her stint with the Spear family?
Sue?
Yeah, with Sue.
Oh, Sue. Yeah, well, no, she was just a kid. She was just out of high school then. She joined us, and then we replaced her with Joy.
Right.
And then she went with the Spear family.
Gotcha. Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah. Well, and
is
she's...
Is that good?
Yeah, it is. And you find it interesting, I guess, when you get together now, you have stories because you were both in two groups together.
Yeah. Well, that is kind of odd, isn't it? I was with them, and then the Spears then formed the Downings, and then Sue was with us and then went with the Spears. And then Joe, of course, you know, we're all do a lot of the video things, Gaither video things,
yeah.
And I've always thought that Bill kind of missed it, that he didn't have the three Downing girls do something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, we talk a lot. We do have some fun laughing and talking about the Downing days.
And Donnie McGuire was in, you've had some good talent.
Donnie was not our first keyboard player. Dickie Matthews was.
Right.
And then Dickie was, he was in business, and it really was just too much. We started traveling more and more and more and more. And Paul had to give up his company. He sold his company. And then we started traveling more. And so Dickie really didn't need to be traveling as much as we were traveling. And then we brought Donnie in. And then Greg Gordon, who was our first tenor, left. And as we were auditioning, Donnie had just come to play the piano. Well, Donnie was a singer, didn't sing very much back then, but he was enough to carry the part. And so he filled in while we were auditioning, and then Wayne Hilliard came. Huh. And then then Wayne left, and we hired somebody else, and he left, and we hired somebody. And Donnie would always sing in between.
Yeah,
and one day, just kind of like, well, duh, I guess, you know, this seems to be the work the best, so let's just keep it that way. So then it became just the four of us.
We're talking to Ann Downing today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends, and listening to music from the Downings. And, of course, Ann is still traveling and still singing today on her own and doing a great job with it. And we're going to talk about that as well down the road here. As the program continues, you're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
When trouble is in my way, And I can't tell my night from day when I'm tossed from side to side like a ship on the raging tide. I don't worry, I don't fret, for God has never failed me yet. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right, I'm not the worrying kind, because
I've got confidence God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's gonna fix it for me.
Job was sick, oh so long, till the flesh fell from his bones. His wife, cattle, and children, everything that he had was gone. But old Job, in his despair, he knew that there was a God who cared. Sleepless days, sleepless nights. But Job said, child, that's all right, because
I've got confidence God is gonna see me through.
Some folks wonder how I can smile, even though I'm going through trials. How can I have a song when everything seems to go wrong? But I don't worry, I don't fret, my God has never failed me yet. Trouble comes from time to time, but that's alright, I'm not the worrying kind, because
I've got confidence God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know who's gonna fix it for me.
I've got confidence
God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know who's gonna fix it for me.
Trials. How can I have a song when everything seems to go wrong? But now I don't worry, I don't fret, for my God has never failed me yet. Troubles come from time to time, and that's alright, I'm not the worrying kind, because
I've got confidence my Lord is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's gonna fix it for me.
I want you to go back to the part about old Job. Now, that's the part I like in this song. You folks remember old Job, don't you? He's the guy in the Bible that the devil went to the Lord and said, look here, this fellow old Job, he ain't got nothing. You know, Job was a multi-billionaire, I guess, according to today's standards. But he loved the Lord very much. He's talked about having all this patience. But the devil said, look here, you just protecting old Job. If you let me get to that rascal, let me put a little punishment on him, said, I'll prove to you he ain't no good. So the Lord said, all right, you can have everything but his soul. Now, what she's saying about is true. It's in the Bible. You can read it. The devil really started pouring it on old Job. Took his wife, his cattle, his children, everything that Job had. The devil took it away from him. Left old Job just sitting there on the ground with the boils on his body till the flesh was just falling from his bones. And old Job got discouraged every once in a while, but he still hung on to the hope that one day soon God was going to take care of him. Now, that's a lot of confidence, people. Now, you may not have the confidence that old Job had. You may not have the patience that old Job had. I know I don't. But you know what's nice about that is the Bible says that the Lord won't never put more on you, lady, than you able to stand.
Job was sick, oh so long, till the flesh fell from his bones. His wife, cattle, and children, everything that he had was gone. But Job, in his despair, he knew that there was a God who cared. Sleepless days and sleepless nights, but Job's at a time that's all right, because
I've got confidence God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's gonna fix it for me.
Now some folks wonder how I can smile, even
even though I'm going through trials. Now how can I have a soul when everything seems to go wrong? But I don't worry, I don't fret. You see, my God's never failed me yet. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind, because
I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know what's gonna fix it for me. I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know what's gonna fix it for me.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends. My guest today is Ann Downing. Ann, you've been so kind to take some time out and go down memory lane with us. And we've covered the Spear family. We've covered part of the Downings era. And in fact, I was talking to producer Wayne Hahn just last week.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, some of this music, you go back from the 60s and 70s and you put it up next to music today. And the really, really, really good stuff, it can still do battle in the competition with the stuff today. And he mentioned by name the Downings, the 1970s, that they were putting out stuff that you put it up next to today's recordings, and it's still good.
Oh.
I thought
well, Wayne, yeah, Wayne was a little, tiny little kid. I mean, real little, when he remembers the Downings. And he has a great story. I don't have time to tell it. And the next time you see him, get him to tell you the story of the first album he produced for me. We did a Downing medley on there because it's just a great story of how that he, like, all of years ago when he was just a little kid, he was listening to the music and thinking, oh man, wouldn't that be great to be a part of that, those songs or something. And then the first real project he produced after he came with Daywind was my album, and we did Downing songs. So it's kind of like a
full
one
circle
of those little moments, you
sure,
know.
Sure. Well, and you guys had, you had energy, you had the sound, and we're listening to those sounds. You also had the awards. I mean, that's nice to get an award every now and then. And tell me about the Dove Award that you received for Best Female Singer.
Yeah, that was the Female Vocalist of the Year Award. I guess that was the second year that the Dove Awards were given out. I think so. I'm telling my age now for sure. It was 1970.
Yeah.
I won the Dove Award in 1970, and then that was, I guess, the Downings had started in 69, so that was kind of the next year after we started the group. And then later on, because we won Dove Awards for, you know, album covers and, you know, those kinds of things. Then Joy later won, while she was with us, won Dove Award for Female Vocalist of the Year.
Wow, cool.
Which I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah.
We had kind of split votes. People would call it split votes.
Uh-huh.
Like, in other words, they were going to vote for, we had a lot of the same fans, I guess. I think that's a strange word, but we had a lot of, we had the same fans. So it was really difficult because some would vote for her and some would vote for me.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I told her, I said, well, I guess I just fell out of favor and you... But it was the one Dove Awards that we didn't attend the year she won. I thought that was that was too bad, but I thought that was neat that both of us could win the Dove Award.
Yeah, that's cool. So tell me about with all the energy and when you start doing something that's gonna be acclaimed, as especially, I don't know what it is about energy, but when you start putting energy in your music, you probably get some criticism in that day.
Oh, yeah.
Were you doing stuff that had never really been done?
Well, I don't think that we received. I don't know. You can talk about energy as far as our stage presentation, and then you can talk about energy as far as musical styles.
Yeah.
We were from the very beginning moving a lot around, moving on the platform a lot, and just having a good time. And we'd walk around with the mic. Nobody would do that much. I mean, maybe they would step forward, but not changing positions, and except maybe one singer would, you know, maybe if there was some one singer like a, you know, a Hovey Lister would jump up from the piano and dance around and go out in the audience, and maybe Dale Shelnut would, but the whole group did. And I think that was a thing, like, well, where are they going, you know?
Really.
And instead of standing back there, like some of the big stages, especially like in Masonic temples, were huge. And so if you stand back there, at the kind of the part of the stage where the kind of the curtain was, if you stand back there, well, you're a mile from the audience, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And so one night in Chicago, we had not been traveling but a year or so. Bob McKenzie, who produced our records back in those days, mm-hmm. he was just a thinker, good thinker. And so he worked with the Imperials and us, and he a lot about trying something. And mm-hmm. so he said, Lord, go all the way to the front of that stage out there. And, I mean, this was one that went way out in the audience. In other words, it was almost in the round. Mm-hmm. The stage was huge. It went out toward, and then back, people were sitting almost all the way around the stage, in other words. So he said, go out to the front. Nobody had ever done that there. And so the people at first are kind of looking like, well, we didn't know what, I mean, that seemed like it was, we were going 150 miles to go out to front of that stage. And we thought, what are we going to do? We're going to get out there. We can't hear. What was going to happen? The mics were feedback. But he kept on, he said, try it. Just try it. It might not work, but go to the edge of that stage. Let your toes be kind of hanging off the front of that stage. Be that close to the people and see what happens. Mm. Well, that's what really broke us loose to do it. I mean, we had been moving around some, but never forward. We kind of go, maybe change positions.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that night. And I think that night we saw that, you know, it's all about getting out there with the people. It's not about singing over their heads.
Yeah.
It's not about them having to see you 25 feet away.
Right, right.
It's about you going to them. And so I do that today. I even go down into the audience, but it started there. I'll never forget that night. It was one of those nights that scared me half to death, but it worked. And so.
Yeah. Well, and I pulled up your website here, and I see in 1971, and I think this may be what you're talking about, in a live setting, you did an album in Muncie, Indiana.
Well, that was about that time, yeah.
And and they say that the album, they called it the record you had to put a dime on to keep it from skipping because all the energy that was literally packed into the grooves, and it was one of your biggest sellers of all time.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'm not sure that, I think that's a better explanation than what it really was. What it was that they tried to cram too much. Yes, energy too, but
yeah.
It was one of those deals where it was a long, we got more material than we had room for on
sure,
a record. So
sure.
It was like, well, what do we cut? Nobody could think of anything to cut out. So they just made the grooves too small. And your little needle would dance around if you,
oh.
And we'd say, if people would bring them back, this doesn't work, the needle went, put a dime, tape a dime to weight it down a little bit.
That's funny.
It is funny.
It is. I mean, well, and with CDs, you don't get that option, I guess. And that's kind
no.
of a cool. Well, and thinking when in hindsight, it may not have been funny at the time. It may have been kind of aggravating. But looking back.
It was, because I would be mad.
Yeah. Well, when you look back, sometimes you see things more clearly when you talk about your producer, Bob McKenzie. And
uh-huh.
if anybody is a fan of gospel music, they at least have heard that name. Because when he would call it discover a group or put his fingerprint on it, it became magical, I think. But did you know what you had in Bob McKenzie at the time that you know
no,
now?
No, because we didn't really like him. He didn't really like at first, and he became one of my best friends. In fact, I miss him probably today. He's in heaven today, but I would miss him as much as I miss anybody else in gospel music.
Yeah,
Bob was from the East.
Mm-hmm.
He had never heard of this music, knew nothing about it. He had met Bob Benson, whose dad, and then later Bob and his brother owned the Benson Company, Heartwarming Records.
Yeah.
They had met at some choral event, had mutual friends or something. They just kind of developed a relationship, and they were really needing an A&R person that. Now, back then, he was producer, A&R, which means artist repertoire, means he does everything. They needed someone. Bob had been doing it, and that was not Bob's forte. So they brought him in to do arrangements, to do producing,
mm-hmm.
to do everything. And he was just, he knew nothing much about the music, and he had to get acquainted with the, totally different than, he'd been real high church music person, orchestra, a symphony. Symphony orchestra, a very good conductor, but he had never heard turn your radio on, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, he learned to love it, and he would, but we needed him to bring that, to pull us up a little bit. It wasn't that it was better. It was just, he drove you to a higher level. He said, you can do better than that. You can sing a little better than that. You can make better records than that. You can come up with new ideas. Don't do it because it's just the way it's been done all this time. Think of something new. And so, yes, he made up, and a lot of people didn't understand him, but I did, because he would always come back if he missed it. He'd always come back and say, you're right, you were right. That was not a good idea. I didn't have a good idea on that, you know. I just loved him.
Talking about Bob McKenzie, this is Ann Downing, and we're listening to some music from the Downings today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
It's a wonderful feeling when you know you found what you've been looking for, what you've been looking for, what you've been looking for. You're searching, it's finally yours. And it's a wonderful feeling when you know you found what you've been looking, what you've been looking, what you've been looking for. Oh, I didn't know for sure just what to look for. I didn't know what dreams I should dream. Cause everything that glitters, looks so bright, isn't always as it seems. Just when I thought happiness couldn't be found, the Savior knocked at my door. And it's a wonderful feeling when you know you found. Something worth living for. I found Jesus, and there's no doubt about it. He's everything I wanted and more. And it's a wonderful feeling when you know you found what you've been looking for, what you've been looking for, what you've been looking for. Oh, it's a wonderful feeling when you know you found what you've been looking for. No more searching, no more looking around to find something worth living for.
With the power great. the power of sin.
God is greater than the gates of hell. Greater
than any tongue can tell.
He's greater
than the richest king.
Greater
than anything. He's greater.
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 Greater
is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
This is Daniel Britt and friends. You're listening to some classic sounds from the Downings, produced by Bob McKenzie. And we're going to pick up with that conversation after this from 1973, an album titled Greater.
There's who will come a day, and I don't know when, know it when. Our Christ, our Lord and Master, will come back to earth again. The Bible tells us how the dead in Christ shall rise at day. Then with the mighty glorious host, my soul shall fly away.
We're going to be caught all up together on that resurrection day.
Shout hallelujah as we leave this world.
Oh, Christian, then be ready for that blessed morning fair when we shall be caught all up together to meet our Lord in the air. When Jesus comes that final morning, he'll hear the trumpet blast. Sweet music to the Christian's ear, we'll know he's come at last. Don't look for me, I'll not be found, I'm going up with him. I'll take my trip on Zion's ship to heaven's pier sailing. We're gonna be caught
all up together on that resurrection day.
Ann Downing is my guest, and we're enjoying some of this conversation back through the years. We're probably into the 70s now. The Downings were on top of the world, and you had Joy and Donnie with you at the time, and then yes.
Always had a full band.
Yeah. Oh, how we miss those days.
Those were fun. I visit those blogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But you guys are merciless on those things.
You know what? You have to be careful now. Well, you didn't have. What do you think it is, Ann? I mean, these days we've got the internet. If you'd have had the internet back in the 70s, and you'd have had blogs, and you had people reporting from their sofas, I mean, and just speaking their mind with no censor button,
right.
and you got up on stage and did that stuff Bob McKenzie told you to do.
Yeah,
it may have been. You may have gone into vinyl repair or something and given it up. I don't know. It can be tough out there and being in the public view, I imagine.
Yeah, and you know this issue with the live band or not. I think one of the reasons that people are not as crazy about a group that has put the can to music or whatever you want to call it is. And I've always said this, because I'll be honest with you, a long time ago when I first started doing solo stuff and using tracks, I had some churches that said, no, we just don't have tracks in our church. And you'd say, why? And some of them didn't know why. But But most of it, well, the Lord can't lead. Well, which is kind of crazy because, Lord can take anything and do it. He does not. He knows our limitations. He knows that we cannot bring a live music here.
Right.
And so do we just say, okay, we don't do anything then if we can't do it the way, you know. So,
sure.
But I maintain the reasons people don't like it as well, a lot of it is because the way that they run the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
It's that thing of you know it's tracks because it's awkward.
Yeah.
It's a little bit stuttery.
Sure.
You don't have the benefit of having the music to come in at the right time or turn around and start the music while the other one is finishing. I don't know. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you do it right, it can be smooth as silk, and I think it sometimes is just better.
Best I go this way, the way that led to victory. There have been times when my heart would seem like it was breaking. I had no one except my Lord to stop the pain and aching. In my darkest hour, drawn to Him. Closer than a brother, He gives me strength to carry on. Above Him, there's no other.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. We're talking to Ann Downing and listening to some classic music that will continue next week as well, as our time is starting to run short. But I've got time for a couple of songs here from 1975 from the project simply titled Praise Him that exemplifies the Downing's use of live music and tons of energy.
Greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the King. and small. Let everything praise the King of Kings, praise the King of Kings. Praise Him on the cymbals, praise Him on the drums, praise Him on the organ, praise Him everyone. Praise Him with the trumpets, praise Him with the strings, praise Him with the tambourine, praise Him everything and more, and praise Him.
Let the world rejoice.
Praise Him with the mighty voice. Praise Him.
Let us enter.
Sit there and criticize all the saints.
but still I came to praise him, Lord.
I did too, I did.
You can walk around with your nose in the air, even criticize the way they wear their hair. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise my Lord. And I'm
everybody.
I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord.
He deserves every bit of it.
I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord.
I believe you.
Energy from the Downings. That's from the mid-70s, a live project called Praise Him. Not surprisingly. Hey, we're going to continue next week with part two of our special on the Downings, talking to Ann Downing with her stories, and we'll move into a more of a modern age where Ann is now performing solo, and we'll hear some of her solo recordings along with help from the Homecoming Friends. So I'll see you back here next time, same place, for another edition of Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
You've been listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel, Britt, and Friends.